Thank you so much. I want to thank everyone who is doing so. Oh, my name is Amy B. I am a compulsive overeater living very gratefully in a recovered state for today. Now I want to thank everyone who is doing service in this meeting tonight. Whether you have a service position that we can see, I want to thank Elizabeth for asking me to speak tonight. And I want to thank every single person who is on this meeting right now, because this is a fellowship based program and we need each other. And every single one of you is doing service by being here. We do service every time we show up to a meeting. We are quite literally working with others. So thank you all for being here. This is a meeting based on working with others. And I know that it's not the typical experience, strength, and hope or qualification. That being said, I must note that today is May 2nd, 2026, which is my 8th abstinence anniversary. Yesterday, May 1st, was my 8th anniversary of my first OA meeting. And I want to tell you what happened, not as a qualification, but because of all of the ways that working with others happens in this program. I went to my first meeting on May 1st, which I love to note, May 1st is a holiday called May Day, and a May Day is a cry for help. Every single person who comes into this room, whether it's their first meeting or they've been here for many, many times or they're returning, every single time we are acknowledging that we need help. That's step one right there. That's a move right there. Anyway, I came in on May 1st and the person who was qualifying her expression with compulsive eating did not really look like my experience. Her feelings about a higher power did not look like my feelings about a higher power, like her background, like the whole thing. And I felt very out of place that, like, even in a room like this, I didn't belong. I was really, really brokenhearted. Before I left the room that night, another woman saw me and knew that I was a newcomer, saw my hesitation, and just came over to me and said, "Hey, why don't you give me your number and I'll give you mine? And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them." And I would have done anything to get out of that room. So I exchanged numbers with her and I left crying. And I went home and I had what turned out to be my last non-abstinent meal. Because when I woke up the next morning, and I love to say it like this, my first thought on awakening was, wow, that woman was so nice to me last night. Like I was broken and sad, and another human being was nice to me. And I rolled over into action and I picked up my phone and I texted her, "Thank you for being so nice to me last night," with no intention of ever going back to a meeting because I felt awful. She texted back words that save my life. I don't put that in the past tense because they continue to save my life now, 8 years later, which is she said to me, "You know, not every meeting is gonna have people that you might resonate with, but there are lots of different meetings and there are lots of different people in this fellowship. And you'll find ones that share your experience. You should really go to another meeting." And she suggested one to me, which I went to. And quite honestly, she got me thinking at the beginning, that maybe there could be a solution for me. And I did not that day in any way, shape, or form turn to food in any way that was unhealthy. I was not, I had been, look, part of my story, which I know was not supposed to tell, but it's in context here, was that I had gained and lost weight. I had had periods of being healthy. So I knew what a sane and sober meal plan looked like. I knew how to do that. Lack of knowledge is not our dilemma, right? So, like that wasn't my problem. And there was some glimmer of hope that came out of the kindness of one person's outstretched arm to somebody who was clearly struggling. I'll use the word because I'm describing myself. I felt broken. And what I learned later was that I wasn't broken. And I learned that in these rooms from doing these steps. So working with others, and the reason why I am stressing this piece of the story so much is because taking someone through the steps, sharing those kinds of pieces of experience are, of course, a part of this program and something that we do. But the opportunity of actually working with others, you don't have to be here for a long time. You don't have to be any kind of experienced big book expert. You don't even have to be abstinent to work with others. We're all in here. I love the saying, we're trying to do, hopefully we want to do God's work and not God's job, right? That's something that I learned from others in these rooms. So, like, if that's what we're trying to do, then we're always trying to do some kind of work. Some kind of progress and showing up, putting your camera on, putting your number in the chat, calling somebody up, asking for help is working with others. I was thinking about this meeting and the theme for this meeting and what I wanted to talk about. And I really didn't want to talk about the typical like sponsorship idea. I wanted to talk about what day by day, walking side by side, trudging the road of happy destiny looks like for me after 8 years. And I have to say, okay, I have a lot of things that I lean on when people ask me like what I think, what my ideas are and whatever. And I always like to preface by saying, if what you are doing is working for you, then you're doing it right today. Like I'm like, if what I say conflicts, if what I say I do conflicts with what you say, don't, then if what you're doing is working for you, then you're doing it right. I believe that. Another thing I think is that I am not a recovery expert or the recovery police or like anybody else's boss. I'm just another addict who has been in the depths of the hole. And I think it's more valuable to ask questions, to work with somebody as an equal, as a side by side, which is what it really says in the big book, right? So people say to me like, well, what do you think? Should I do this or do I have to put this on my inventory or should I do this or whatever? And I don't, I'm not God. I'm not an expert. I'm not in anything, but I'll tell you, you'll find out. You'll find out if it helps you heal and grow, and you'll find out if it doesn't. When somebody says, like, look, when I say things like you'll find out, I usually follow that up with, is it worth it? to find out. Because I'll say that for me, after 8 years, like I could start to think for a second that like I'll know what happens if I introduce a food in that I think I don't have a problem with. But it's not worth it to me to find out. It's still not worth it to me to find out. So all I can say to somebody is like, you'll find out. Is it worth it? And I don't want that responsibility. It's not my credit if somebody grows or recovers, and it's not my flaw if somebody picks up. Like that's God's job. That's not mine. And when I say God, that's another thing. Like, I think about all the people. All right, so now I'm off track because I did want to talk about like all of the people who had helped me from the very beginning, whether they were my sponsor or not. And I will say, I hold up my fingers in quotes. Once again, if it's working for you, you're doing it right. I have come to a place where like I back off a little bit from the word sponsor. Like the people that I work with, I'm like, look, you want to use that word for me? That's whatever. Like, use whatever word you want. But like, we're just people who are both in recovery, talking about the big book, talking about what we're going through in a day where our restless irritableness and discontent comes out. Like all of those things. We're just two fellow compulsive overeaters who are trying to live in a recovered state one day at a time. I've heard so many things from people that were not sponsors of mine who guide me. For a while, I used the term spiritual board of directors. Like, some people use the word God squad or something like that. But like, that's the kind of energy that I am now 8 years being in the room, engaging with in terms of working with others. I love carrying the message. I love talking about the big book. Love talking about it from like a perspective of like it's meant to be personalized. I read that in the text. It is meant to be lived and grown. And again, if it's working for you, you're doing it right. If it's working for you, you're doing it right. And from my perspective, the more I change and grow, the way I work my program changes and grows. I don't do it the same way that I did it 8 years ago. I don't do it the same way that I did it a year ago because that was 8 years ago, Amy, or 1 year ago, Amy, or 3 years ago, Amy. And I don't want 8 years ago, Amy's, 3 years ago, Amy's, yesterday's Amy's ideas about what is in my, it's one day at a time. It's one day at a time. It's only today. I say 8 years. Obviously, I'm very reverent about that anniversary. Usually, when I speak in a meeting, I will say the number of years, the number of months, the number of days. And the reason I do that is for two reasons. Number one, it's testimony that this program can work one day at a time over a longer period of days or time. And that is working with others every time that we talk about when the steps have worked for us and abstinence that is one day at a time still here. That is testimony. That is when you look at the big book, the personal stories, all of that, the whole chapter around working with others is around sitting and telling our stories. That's why meetings are set up like that. That's why Bill's story is the first chapter, because the very thing, first thing we do with each other when we get into the program is we share our experience, strength, and hope. And that's how we I mean, it's how we gain the trust of
That's
5 minutes.
minutes.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. There's also, when I think about the you'll find out, I think about some of the advice in chapters like more about alcoholism and working with others, where it suggests, to somebody who thinks that they've got it on lock, may I suggest, going without it for a period of time and then seeing if you can go back. May I suggest, like they're saying, go ahead and find out if you need to. So I also look, I've made a lot of mistakes in sponsoring and in working with others. I've had a lot of like thinking that I was supposed to be the one doing God's work and telling them what to do. It was the best that I knew then. I was doing what I had been taught to do, and I was the best sponsor that I could be at the beginning. And I look back on those days and I'm like, oh wow, that was really self-centered. Like all of these things that I now have learned differently. So when I say like, as I learn and grow, I learn more. I heard once in a meeting something that has stuck with me, and it's particularly, I think it's particularly resonant on an anniversary day, but it also reminds me that like I'm not an expert. So it was somebody who had more than 3 decades of abstinence in this program, like a very, very, very long time. And they said, you don't know the first thing about recovery until you have 10 years of abstinence. And if you have a problem with that, come talk to me when you have 10 years of abstinence. And I was like, oh, huh. And I really like that. And I know that there are some people that are going to wrinkle that face. And you know what? That's cool because we are all allowed to have our own reactions to that. But it sort of reminded me that, like, I'll tell you what it reminds me of. It reminds me of an early sponsor that I had in this program who had 14 years and then picked up out of nowhere for no reason. And I think about that too. So one of the reasons why I count every day is for testimony. The second reason why I count every day is because every day stands alone. It is one day at a time. That person picked up after 14 years. It was just one day. It is one day at a time. And I'll tell you, I have not looked to food to solve my problems. I have not eaten my alcoholic foods. I have not done any of those things for 8 years, but my mental twist is still around. I still have those thoughts from time to time. It's crazy because I know it's not true, but every once in a while, that little voice would be like, I bet you could have that. And I don't know where it comes from. I do know where it comes from. I'm an addict, and I have a mental twist. I just do. I believe what it says in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous about the physical allergy and the mental twist and the spiritual malady. And I didn't at the beginning. I didn't. So again, growing, changing, listening to different perspectives, that's a huge one for me. And another reason why, like, I'm very hesitant in like that very, very closed sponsor relationship that happens sometimes in this program, because multiple perspectives are so important. I really, really think that like multiple experience strengthen hope, and hearing how different people are, it gives an opportunity for us to hear, higher wisdom and higher guidance from multiple sources. I think that's my time because I was timing at the same 2 seconds less. I hope I have said something that was helpful tonight. I know I was all over the place, but thank you so much for letting me do service tonight.